a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Reminder to turn off your cell phones, and with that, we'll get started with the secretary calling the roll.
Ewing?
Here.
Kirkaby?
Here.
Amdahl?
Here.
Otten?
Here.
Welke?
Here.
Monroe?
Here.
Maher?
Here.
There is a quorum.
We have
Everyone's
a quorum.
Present.
Do you have a motion to approve the minutes? Motion by Amdahl, second by Otten. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Minutes are approved. Just a reminder to all the testifiers to sign in this morning. And handouts will be distributed by the pages. And reminder that the questions of the committee all go through the chair. And so with that, we'll just jump right into it. And we'll start off with Senate Bill 55, making certain style and form changes regarding the bank franchise tax and reinstating certain provisions regarding bank acquisitions for the purposes of distribution of the bank franchise tax. That was a lot of words. Good morning, Mr. Mike.
Good morning.
I can't see your last name.
Howdy, Shell.
There you go.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Mike Howdy Shell with the Department of Revenue. Before I get started, I do have an amendment that I would like the committee to consider if the page could pass that
you
out.
Bet.
And, Mr. Chair, if you would grant me the latitude, I would like to speak to the bill and the amendment.
I think what we'll do is I'll just have a motion to move the amendment, and then we'll second it, and then we'll talk to both the bill and the amendment, and then we'll take a vote on the amendment later on. So do I have a motion to...
Mr. Chair,
Senator Ewing.
Make a motion to amend the... allow the amendment.
And that would be 55FA. Motion right. to move 55FA. Do I have a second?
I second it.
Seconded by Amdahl. And we are... we do have the... amendment moved and seconded, so we'll let you talk to both of them.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill is simply a cleanup to one statute in our bank franchise tax laws, and then it's also a minor revision to the bank franchise tax statute that deals with consolidated filings. Section 1 corrects an apparent oversight when two additional apportionment statutes, which are at SDCL 1043-25.8 and 1043-25.9 were enacted in 1996. Both of these statutes should have been added to the statutory cross-reference, which is contained in SDCL 1043-29.1. And that particular statute discusses when a bank franchise taxpayer can use an alternative apportionment method. And currently, 1043-25.1 through 25.7 are cross-referenced in that statute. And essentially what Section 1 does is it corrects that oversight. 29.1 was actually enacted, I believe, in 1986 or thereabouts. And when these two additional apportionment statutes were added in 96, we believe that they should have been added into that particular statute at that time, but they weren't. So it's just fixing a cross-reference error.
Okay.
Section 2 amends current language, which allows bank franchise taxpayers to file consolidated returns without petitioning the Secretary of the Department of Revenue. And what the amendment does is it would simply require the taxpayer to seek permission to file consolidated returns before doing so, much like bank franchise taxpayers must petition the Secretary of Revenue before they use an alternative apportionment method, such as I referred to in Section 1 of the bill. This change would provide the Department of Revenue with an opportunity to ask questions of the bank franchise taxpayer about their request to file consolidated return and to verify any information that may be necessary before the taxpayer starts a consolidated filing. And we already have an administrative rule in place, the department does, at ARSD 64260313, which lists items to consider when requiring separate returns. In other words, if a taxpayer has elected to use a consolidated return, there is a rule that the secretary can use to determine whether or not the consolidated return is appropriate. But, of course, that's after the taxpayer has already elected to file consolidated. So what Section 2 would do was would require the taxpayer to request the consolidated filing prior to doing so, and the secretary could then make a determination whether that's appropriate for that taxpayer. As far as the amendment is concerned, it's fairly straightforward. What we're seeking to do is just strike everything from Section 3 through the end of the bill. Those statutes were statutes that were repealed by the Division of Banking last year as part of the red tape review, and we had a cross-reference error with those statutes that we are actually addressing in Senate Bill 56, which is a bill that's currently pending on the Senate floor. And we believe that Senate Bill 56 is going to take care of this problem, so we don't need to reenact those statutes that are referenced in Sections 3 through 9 of the bill. So we would ask that those be removed. And with that, I would stand by for any questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. I can't say your last name. Mr. Mike.
That'll work.
Any further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 55? Any further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 55? Seeing none, we'll move into any opposition testimony. Any opponent testimony for Senate Bill 55? Seeing none, we will move to committee questions. Are there any questions of the committee? I'll have Mike come forward. Any of your committee members have any? Okay, I have a question. You had mentioned rules. Now, the rules aren't defined in statutes. Those are found other places. And how does explain to the committee how those work?
Sure. The administrative rules I was referencing are the rules that were promulgated by the Department of Revenue pursuant to their rulemaking authority, which this body has previously granted the department. We do have a rulemaking authority in the bank franchise tax area, and this is just a rule that was enacted or which was promulgated by the department that allows the secretary to determine whether or not a consolidated return is appropriate in a given scenario.
Sure.
There may be reasons why it's not, and that's what the rule discusses, is reasons when the secretary can require the taxpayers to file separate returns.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any other questions? All right. Thank you. As we move into action and or discussion purposes, we do have an amendment before you. At this time, I guess we will probably move the amendment. We have a motion and a second. So all those in favor of 55FA will signal by saying aye. Those opposed will be nay. So it's a voice vote. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Senate Bill 55 has been so amended with 55FA. Any other discussion on this Senate Bill 55? Seeing none, do I have a motion to dispose of Senate Bill 55 or take it someplace? Yes, Mr. Senator Kirkaby. We do have a motion of due pass as amended, seconded by Monroe. All those in favor will say aye, those will say nay, and the secretary will call the roll.
Ewing?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
Yes.
Amdahl?
Yes.
Otten?
Yes.
Welke?
Yes.
Monroe?
Yes.
Maher?
Aye.
7.
We have a 7-0 vote to move due pass Senate Bill 55 to the floor. Do I have a further motion? Senator Kirkaby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have an amendment for the title amendment as presented on 55FA.
Yes. Do I have a second for the title amendment? Title. We have to amend the title, guys. Second by Otten. So, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Seeing none, title has been amended. Is there any other motions? Like consent? Seeing none, take 55 to the floor. With that, we will move on to Senate Bill 58. At the Committee on Transportation, an act to revise certain provisions regarding to the electronic filing of a motor fuel tax report and electronic remittance of motor fuel taxes.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Deborah Hilmer, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. We bring this bill to you as a part of our red tape review. During this last summer, we went through Title 47B, which is our motor fuel tax sections. And that law has been in place since 1996, and it had not had a thorough review. So we did do a thorough review of the chapter, and we do have a number of form and style changes in the bill, but it also basically addresses our electronic filing. Currently, or last year, we passed an electronic filing component that was in Chapter 1059, which is a general chapter that deals with taxes in the department. And what we decided to do was to take that language and move it into 1047B for each type of license that we have. We have about 20 types of fuel tax licensees, such as supplier, an importer, an ethanol producer, a highway contractor, and all of these licensees have different reporting periods. They may be semi-annual, they may be quarterly, and they may be monthly. So what we did was we just took the basic language for our electronic filing and payment process and put them into each of those license types. And we did that for clarity for the taxpayer. So if the taxpayer goes to the statute and looks at the law, they're going to see what their license reporting requirements are and what their payment requirements are. The one thing that I would like to point out is in Section 31 of the bill, the Secretary does have the ability to allow for a licensee to report and pay by paper rather than by electronic. So we do have that provision in here. We have had a couple people exercise it. As I've told you in my presentation, the first group that we tackled for electronic filing were our suppliers. We had about 75 of those supplier licensees. They are all filing and paying electronically now. We've had good comments from them about the process that we went through because we did do a lot of individual work with those taxpayers. And we do get about 90% of the tax motor fuel tax revenue from those 75 suppliers. So that was a big bang for our dollar of that investment. The next ones that we are working on right now, we hope to implement in April, are our importers. They'll be able to file electronically, and we're just kind of whittling away at each of the license types and doing the education and stuff with people. So we send a letter out in advance that we're doing it. We educate them on what their requirements are. If they don't or are not computer literate and don't want to file that way, they can submit a request to the department, and we will consider that. I had provided to each one of you a section by section because the bill is kind of long, but we did provide to you a section by section. I will not go through that, but it is available to you, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those at any point in time. Thank you,
Ms. Elmer. Any further proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Donna Lightsky, and I'm the Executive Director for the South Dakota Petroleum and Propane Marketers Association. And we did work extensively with the department and with Deb Hilmer in agreement on this. Last year, we did support going to electronic. Those were, again, Deb said, our suppliers, and we're moving into the importer-exporters. In this day and age, it's actually kind of hard to believe that someone can't do an electronic filing. We do all our federal taxes that way as individuals and businesses, but there are a few, and the department's been very, very helpful and supportive of just one of my members that had to do it on paper. But it's a great bill. We are fully supportive of it, and we hope you can support it too, and I can stand by questions for questions. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Further proponent testimony?
Good Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Deb Mortensen, registered lobbyist for the Associated General Contractors. I am here specifically for the highway heavy utility contractors this morning. About 6 or 7 years ago, these fine folks were dragged kicking and screaming into the electronic information age when they had to submit bids via the internet for highway contracts. So at this point in time, they are fully conversant with everything that's required and absolutely supportive of what Mrs. Hilmer is doing. I ask you to be as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony. Good morning.
Good morning. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Brenda Foreman. I'm registered lobbyist for South Dakota Association of Cooperatives. And again, Ms. Hilmer's come to all of the industry, talked with us, and worked with us. And I, too, as Donna has said, we do have a few that maybe electronic filing isn't where they're at right now. But the department has been really great to work with. We support them visiting with us about this and would ask you to support their changes as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 58. One last call for proponent testimony for Senate Bill 58. Seeing none, is there any opposition testimony? Any opponent testimony for Senate Bill 58? Seeing none, we will move into questions of the committee. Senator? Okay. Any questions down here? Seeing none, we will close to the committee, close questions, move into discussion. Any discussion? How about action then? We have a due pass motion from Senator Monroe. Is there a second? Second by Welke. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say nay. And the secretary will call the roll.
Ewing.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Unanimous.
We have 7-0 votes, so Senate Bill 58 moves to the floor with a due pass motion. I have a motion consent. Is there seconded by Ewing? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none. Senate Bill 58 moves to the consent calendar. I need to assign someone to carry Senate Bill 55 to the floor. Mike, do you have speaking points for 55? One of the new members gets this bill. Who wants to carry it? Great, great. Eeny, meeny, miny. Mr. Welke?
I guess I'm not sure what that means, but I'll do it.
It means you're going to... Well, that's why we got to do this. Mr. Mike over there. Yeah. He's going to give you some speaking points. And you just get up, and when we get the calendar on the floor of the Senate, when 55 comes up, the president will call for someone to speak on 55. At that time, you'll rise and pitch the bill and
hope. Get out of the park.
Yeah. Pretend you're a preacher man on Sunday morning.
All right.
There you go. All right. With that, Mr. David Weiss will come forward and provide us with some information on the different sales tax exemptions that are out there.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. David Weiss of the Department of Revenue. Last week during our presentation to the committee, somebody requested that we provide a list of the state sales tax exemptions. We in 2011 had a summer study on sales tax exemptions where we compiled lots of data. What we did is we took the 2011 data and refreshed it. We had a few areas where we were able to find some more current information, so we updated the 2011 sales tax exemption data to the document you see here today, which is a summary of state sales tax exemptions. The document is annotated. For example, you will find on page 3 for the agricultural group, we had some tax estimates based upon the USDA's 2010 South Dakota annual report. So we tried to put the annotations in the report where we got the data. Some places in the report on certain exemptions, there is better information in places and not so good information in others. So there are portions of the sales tax exemptions that have the annotations where we are feel very comfortable. Other portions where it is estimates, and of course, the better quality of data, the better estimates that we can provide to the committee. With that, Mr. Chairman, we simply wanted to bring this document and have a very brief explanation to you and the members of the committee about sales tax exemptions in South Dakota, and hopefully what we provided here today answers the questions posed by the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does the committee have any questions for Mr. Weiss before he steps down? Senator Kirkaby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick one. David, bottom line, I forgot exactly what these exemptions total. Is that listed on here as well? I'm not a speed reader. I only got through the first 8 pages so far.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I believe, Senator, if you look at page 12, we did have a subtotal at the very end of, it appears to be $582 million.
Any other questions from the committee? There's some light reading for you, some night you can't sleep. Thank you, Mr. Weiss.
Thank you very much.
Is there anything else to come before the committee? Do we have any other bills to sign? We have one more bill, one House bill coming forward. So we will take that on next week, Wednesday, because we are here Monday. So, all right, we have one bill for next week, Wednesday, House Bill 1040. And with that, do I have a motion to adjourn? Moved by Otten, second by Welke. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, opposed. We are so adjourned.